Raised Rowdy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nikki T.
We have Dalton Davis as our guest today.
What up?
Yay.
Thank you for being here with us, brother.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah. Out here on like the coldest day that we've had, probably.
Straight up snowing outside.
Yeah, really. In Nashville. Like if someone's listening from back in Pittsburgh, they're like, Nick, you became a wuss. But man, it is nice not having snow around all the time. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. It is the worst kind of day to wake up and be like, all right, I gotta go sing a vocal track today, and you look outside, it's snowing. You're like, I want to do everything but go to the studio.
Yeah, you were at the studio today or had a session? Or?
Yeah, we had a session with Brad Tersey from Old Dominion and Messi, my producer.
Yeah.
We're trying to finish the record, so I think we got the 8th song in today. So
hell yeah.
We've had everything finished, and we probably wrote like 12 songs to be the 8th song. And yeah. Every time it's like,
with that crew?
No, different kind of squad.
Okay.
Messi's kind of been there for most of it, but we've kind of like, kind of just tag team, like everybody's like, hey, what do you think? Here's the 7 songs. What do you think the 8th one should be? And it's kind of got everyone's opinion. And it was like, all right, now we have a jambalaya. We'll figure out which one's the best 8 out of that.
That's great. Yeah. I know that name through Rob Williford.
Messi. Like,
dude, Messi. Yeah. Same squad.
He's like, just G. He's so
man.
Good.
Yeah. Messi's like,
he's good at everything.
Honestly, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah. Great player, like a jack of all trades. Great writer, great producer, great guy.
Yeah.
Great dad. That's got a second baby on the way. Shout out Messi.
Shout out to Messi.
I told him I was doing this on the way here. I was like, yo, I'm going to speak it out on the podcast that you're naming your baby after me. So you heard it here first.
What's the baby's name?
Dalton Davis.
Yeah. First name Dalton.
And Brad was he's a veteran of the podcast as well.
Oh, right.
We had him on when he put out that solo record.
Oh, we were listening. I was showing him the solo record today, the Church Bells and Train
Whistles.
Yeah,
it's great.
So good.
Yeah.
That record was cool, and he's a cool guy. We like we saw him when we were smoking a cigar yesterday, but he was like in depth reading a book, so we didn't bother him.
What's that spot called?
Abbey.
Abbey. That's up the street from my house.
Yeah.
That's a cool
Kurt.
Spot.
Kurt's like right there. So we saw him, but we were like, he was like intense. We're like, all right, I'm gonna leave.
Let him do his
thing.
You can't smoke weed in there, I don't think.
Yeah. You never see me in there.
Yeah, that's why you're not in there. Yeah.
Not yet.
Find maybe a spot and I'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah,
no doubt. At this point, it's the office.
Yeah.
So before we started recording, you said this is your first podcast ever.
First podcast ever. That's I'm sick. Here. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. It's like a short interview, but just slightly longer. You know?
I'm here for it. First interview, too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, damn, look at that.
Rocking it out.
You're doing great.
Appreciate it.
Do we want to do like the how'd you get here kind of thing?
Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah, let's do that. I think
if it's your first podcast, like if there's like 100 podcasts that you've done, someone's done that with you, but.
It's the first one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's talk your story, your music story.
Yeah, man.
Music story is kind of a wild one. I'll just try to give like the quick, you know, get
us there.
We
got time, dude. We're not in a rush here.
Fair enough. So my uncle is kind of the reason why I do everything I do. He was just like a badass picker growing up. And I remember when I was a kid, he babysat me one time, and it was, you know, 10 minutes of him showing me all his beaters that he had rusting out in the yard, and showed me this barn where he had drawn like Elvis and Hank Williams Jr. and shit with a Sharpie. Then after that, he's like, all right, I don't know what to do with a little kid anymore, so come in here, I'm going to teach you how to play his guitar. And he walked around, couldn't find a guitar pick, and he's like, all right, I got a quarter right here, so either you learn to play with this quarter or your fingers. And the quarter was too big. So to this day, I still don't play with a guitar pick. But that was like what got me into it. A little bit after that, I started playing bass, and then before you know it, I was like kind of traveling, playing bass all over, and ended up getting adopted by a gospel singer in my teen years.
Yeah.
And went on the road with him for a while.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Wild life, for sure. Ended up leaving there. Went on staff as a church, as a pastor or a worship pastor, and went to Bible college and did that kind of whole thing. Kind of in situations where it was like, I didn't think I was supposed to be there. You know, in my mind, I was like, I should be locked up or dead from the way I used to be living. And now that I'm not, it's kind of because these people saved me. So if they tell me to go work at a church, I went to work at a church. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, that fast forwards like, you know, a lot of stuff. But come 2018, I'm like in Atlanta working at a church and realizing like, this is not like what I want to do. I like don't feel like I'm supposed to do this. But it was always like, something's not right that I can blame it on. The band messed up, the choir messed up, or, you know, there wasn't a lot of people there or something. And then one Sunday, like, everything was perfect. The audience was, or the congregation was there, and they were in it, and they knew the words, and the band was smacking, and the choir was smacking it. And I was like, oh, I'm still not, like, feeling like I'm supposed to. This is not what I'm supposed to do. So I stepped down and moved back to Chattanooga, where I went to Bible college, and was like, I'm going to figure out who the hell I am. Am I allowed to cuss on this?
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Cool. I got to keep that PG.
No, you're good, dude.
I was like, I don't know who I am, so I'm going to figure this out. And in that process, you know, I moved back and start writing music and start, like, kind of getting more in touch with who I was. If you look at a picture from me back then, I look like a completely different person because I just looked like whatever the church kind of told me to be at that time.
Yeah.
So I start, like, getting more in touch with the clothes and, you know, start dressing how I used to dress growing up and start dressing like the uncles that I grew up wanting to be like and listening to the music I listened to growing up. And before you know it, I was, like, straight up playing country music. But at this point, I had moved into this house in Chattanooga called the Flock House, and it was, like, eight artists, rappers and R&B artists, and then me living in their shed. They had, like, this unfinished shed behind it. I was like, hey, well, can I live here? And I lived there for 2 years and, like, with the Elements, yeah, just so I could learn how to record and, like, how to be my artist. And, like, you know, what? You're only a country guy living in a house full of rappers and R&B artists who are very excellent in their craft. You better be damn proud and, like, you know, standing on what you're about to come in there and show them, because if you play a goofy ass song, they're gonna laugh your ass back to that shed. And yeah, I failed, like, figured that out a bunch of times. So I, you know, helped me, like, kind of get my ground of, like, okay, this is what I want to do. About that time, we you know, COVID starts coming up. Mm-hmm. We start playing these shows, and through my years of touring and playing bass, I met a bunch of different players. And when COVID hit, nobody had any work, and so I called all the boys. I was like, yo, y'all want to go to chat and just make a country band? We'll start playing these barn parties, and we knew this family with a barn out there that would just let us do our thing. And so it kind of started this notion of, like, you know, with this little squad. Well, when COVID opened back up, we played a show in chat and sold it out. And everybody was like, who are these kids that just came in and just packed this place out and they're wearing it out? And all of a sudden we start playing shows in chat. And
what was the band name?
Dalton and the Boys.
Okay.
Oh, very original.
I like it.
It was like, you know, Bible college. It was Dalton and the Church Boys. And Dalton, and there was, like, a bunch of different, like, segments of that. But through that process, my face is wheat pasted across the wall in Chattanooga. I go to breakfast with a business partner of mine who we do. I have a creative agency with Scoos over here in the corner, and we do, like, photos and videos for other artists, and we've done that in Nashville. That kind of helped me get here too. But I'm meeting with my business partner in that, and my face is wheat pasted across this wall from the show we just played. We walk in this breakfast diner at Midland sitting there, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Midland. Nobody, it's just them and me and my business partner. And I was like, oh, okay, like, I gotta say something. So, like, what's up, guys? Like, you know, cool that you guys are in Chattanooga. Not a lot of country acts come play. And he's like, oh, cool. Like, are you coming to the show? I was like, honestly, I didn't know you were playing. So they had me write my name down on a piece of paper. They're gonna give me free tickets. Well, as I'm doing that, the waitress, having no clue who Midland is, walks up and goes, oh, y'all don't know Dalton Davis? He's a country music star. Look, his face is right there on the wall right there.
No.
And Midland looks up and it's my face, and they're, like, laughing at me. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh, shit. Like, not now. But, I can't remember which one of the guys of the band, but one of them said, well, let's see your Instagram. And so I pull my Instagram out, and they see, like, Cowboy Casanova. Like, what is this? This is different. So they're looking at it, and, you know, they talk for me a second. Then I go back, sit down, start having breakfast. Well, Jess Carson walks over, like, 10, 15 minutes later and goes, hey, man, you kind of seem like you know Chattanooga. You know where I could find a vintage guitar? Well, the largest guitar museum, like, privately owned guitar collection in the world is in Chattanooga. And the guys who own that, I was recording my record in their studio. So I was like, hey, call this number right here, and these guys will show you, you know, the first electric guitars ever made, and, like, the Beatles guitars and Jimi Hendrix guitars, the craziest collection. So then he's like, what the hell? So in that conversation, he sees my business partner's watch, and there's this vintage Rolex. Basically, it was, like, a Rolex top and a leather band with, like, insides. This guy from Atlanta kind of, like, remakes them. And he was like, oh, I like that watch. And immediately I was like, well, give me your phone number, and I'll text you after this and tell you how to get that watch. And in my head, I'm like, I'm sending him my demos as soon as we do. But he gives me the number, and in that conversation, he tells me, hey, the Witters just called in sick for tour. And I'm like, well, let me play that spot. And he's like, oh, you know, this random kid is like, oh, we can't make it work because of plugins, blah, blah. He just gave me some random ass excuse. And I was like, okay, cool. And then as we leave, me and my business partner talking, I'm like, I bet he'd trade that, open a spot for that watch. So we take a picture of it, send it to him, like, yo, got a watch in it for you, let me get that open a slot. And then their tour manager Gooch called me and he's like, can you be here in 30 minutes? And I was like, fuck yeah, I can. So ran, grabbed my guitar, ran to Sailors and something auditorium in Chattanooga, Soldiers and Sailors auditorium / Walker Memorial. And I go, it's like 3,500 seats. It's just them. And Mark walks up and goes, hey, man, don't fuck this up. And I was like, oh, shit. So I get up there, do my little audition. And they're like, okay, cool, you got it. So then I run down the street to a spot called Giorgio's, got a suit made, and came, played, open for Midland. They let me open in Chattanooga that night. They let me go open for them Atlanta the next night. And then through that, we get asked to go open in the Dwight Yoakam run through the Southeast. And so we do that. And that kind of, like, brought me to Nashville. Kind of, like, all happened in this, like, quick little span of, like, what the fuck is happening off of a watch, you know. But do the Dwight stuff, and through that, CAA calls me and was like, hey, we, like, we want to meet with you. And so I made the drive up here, meet with them, and met with them for, like, a couple hours. And I thought it was going to be like a quick little lunch, but we ended up eating for like 2 or 3 hours. And at the end, he was like, hey, like, don't talk to anybody else. We'd love to work with you. And I was like, well, I'm meeting with WME in 30 minutes. And so he CC'd me in an email to like every publishing company in town. I was like, hey, you guys should know this kid and work with him. Kind of trying to show me they wanted to work with me.
Right.
But we ended up not working together, and it just introduced me to the world of publishing. And so I'd never had a co-write in Nashville. And then all of a sudden, I had like 5 Fridays in a row with, you know, Jonathan Singleton and Eric Dillon. We were just like, and just stuff started just kind of piling up. And at the same time, we meet Dasha. And she comes and she was like, hey, can you shoot my album art? And so Scoos shot it and we produced it, the cover art for her single Austin that blew up. And we did the visualizer for it. And so like at the same time, we're trying to figure out like what's going on musically. That starts kind of taking off. And then it's kind of been a wild year. I moved here like March of 2023 on the backs of like supposed to sign a pub deal and an artist development deal with another team.
Yeah.
Ended up not going through. So then, like, led us to January, and I was like, you know, I don't know if music's going to work out for me or not. And then now we're here. It's been the craziest year.
Nuts, man.
Craziest 12 months of my life.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
I feel like that was the hyper-speed version of that, so I don't know if I hit all the spots.
No, that's wild.
Yeah. That is an intense freaking year for sure.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
We started the year off with, you know, no partnerships at all, and we ended with a pub deal, a record deal, a booking deal, management, you know, attorneys, the whole thing. Night. Yeah.
Well, let's go down the list and tell us if you can.
Yeah. So we signed publishing with Roxy King and Troy Thompson over at Universal, which is very excited about.
Yeah.
They don't sign a lot of people at UMG.
We're having fun over there. I'm excited to be there. The first day I walked in, he started telling me Dean Dillon stories, and I was like, I'm sold, whatever. Whatever. I'm here for this. That's my goal. If you look at, I'm just like trying to just be the next Dean Dillon.
I can see it. Yeah.
Dalton Davis, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he might be my dad, bro.
Double
we don't
D's,
know.
Yeah.
But
Dalton Davis Dillon.
Exactly. But did that for a label we signed with. We did a one project deal with Version 3, which is the team that blew Dasha up to the first project. So we're excited about that. For booking, we signed with WME, so excited about that as well.
Super
and then,
cool.
You know, building the rest of the squad out there.
Yeah.
Management, the whole nine.
What so do you have any like dates on the books now that you have a booking, or is that just like soon in the works?
We like agreed on finalized the booking deal like the week of Thanksgiving. Like it
crazy.
Was like doom, we're out of the city. So I know we have some dates on the calendar coming up, opening for Gary Allen in March.
Yeah.
And we just got off the road with Dash, and then I don't know what else we have coming up. I know we'll have like the album release show in April, and then I guess kind of just see how this starts folding out. I know there were some conversations about some other dates. I don't know if I can like say them yet or not.
Yeah,
but
totally fine. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, very excited.
Dude, it's nuts.
It is so nuts. I feel like I'm living in a fever dream.
Yeah. I remember like getting to hang, well, not like hang a ton, but like down in Key West and like seeing you down there and just getting to have you play our rounds. I remember that night you played with Kayla Ray. I forget who the third was, but it was you and Kayla Ray on a round. And it was just freaking awesome.
I'm trying to think.
I forget. But Kayla was like, thank you for putting me with these guys. You know what I mean? Like, because your vibe, like, is so different. But, like, it's traditional country, but it's, like a new spin
there.
On it.
Yeah, yeah, for
you
sure.
know? And Kayla's thing is, like, so, like, kind of, like, almost, like, 50s, mm-hmm. 60s country, you know? She has that, like, old classic.
Oh, yeah. That was, I'm trying to think. Who was it? Now I remember that round. I'm like, yeah.
I forget who the third was.
Because she sat right here and just watched me the whole night. I was like, this sucks. I hate going after her.
No, dude. But it's cool because, like, you guys, in my head, like, you guys fit together, but you're very different, too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
But complimentary.
Yes,
sure.
Exactly. Where, like, if someone liked your thing, they'd probably like her thing, too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And, like, and vice versa. I love doing that. Like, if I'm putting people together, I'm like, all right, who would, like, kind of fit together vibe wise. Not you don't want two of the same person, you know what I mean? But
absolutely.
like the vibe fits. So
it's cool you bring up Key West because we were talking to my manager on the way here. That kind of, you know, jump started everything that we're doing now. Like I said, January we didn't have anything going. May I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I went and recut all these demos and was just trying to pitch them as a songwriter. And Sam was like, yo, I think I can get you to Key West, connect you to the Raised Rowdy guys.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, come out. And while we were there, that's when me and Dash share the same manager. And that's when we kind of got to really like link on my
connect.
Music. He came and saw me play around and he was like, okay, let's sit down and talk. And then that next day, I got a call from some people on the record side, and just kind of he just started telling everybody, preaching the gospel of Don Davis, you know. That's but sick. It came from that. So I was like, it's crazy that now that started it, and now we're back here right before it all kind of takes off. It's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, dude, I remember Sam like hitting me up, and he's like, dude, there's this kid.
Gastonia boy, Sam. Yeah.
He's like, he's from the hometown. He's different, and it's cool. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm helping him, but I'm not like helping him. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's just like a dude that I think is awesome, you know, and hit me up, and I was like, yeah, this is cool as hell. So, and honestly, dude, like, it's weird because traditional stuff is coming back, but if you have a different sound of it, if you have like a different swing on that traditional thing, I think that is what like the next thing is like, okay, you have that traditional sound, but like, what's the next development of how you get that thing to the next level? So, and your shit's cool like that.
Appreciate it.
I haven't gotten to see like full band shit, but like, I assume it's a similar vibe. Like what's a full band show sound like?
It's pretty wang. And we just played our last full band show, doing the Gavin Adcock Country Central Whiskey Jam takeover.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We all played black gospel music as our upbringing. So mm-hmm. I always say we play black gospel 90s country music.
Yeah.
Because we play, you know, a little, sometimes different chords, some more bumping but bass lines, maybe the drummer's kind of moving a little bit more. So it's definitely like resembles what we're doing when I broke down, but when it's full of the band, it's like, you know, I might play the whole set one day, or I might not play the whole set. I might not play at all the whole set and just dance the whole time and sing and just let the boys just rip. So you really never know, but it's definitely more up for sure. You know.
Are the guys in the band from the Dalton and the Boys days?
I have the same drummer. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is kind of, so I mean, I kind of stole a lot of those guys from their gigs when they weren't touring for COVID. So as soon as COVID opened back up, it was like, okay, well, they I got to go gig. Back over here. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so some of the guys you're playing with now are Nashville folks.
Mess plays in the band.
Oh, no shit.
So, yeah, so.
Oh, is he playing bass or guitar?
Playing
or?
Guitar. So okay, cool. We kind of have a little like network. Noah Smith on drums. We got Jake Hess, badass. He's up next. He'll be the next guy you guys will be interviewing of like, bro, your record's going to go crazy. He's a monster. But he plays acoustic and sings background with us.
Sick.
And then we had Mo Suave on bass last time.
Mo Suave? Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's a great name.
Great bass player, too. Yeah. Sometimes Joe Cleveland on bass. You know, different kind of guys. We fluctuate back and forth. That's the cool thing of, like, we've all put our time in playing all. Like, you know, when we did the Dwight tour, we had, like, 2 months of rehearsals in a warehouse in Chattanooga. So it's like we've got all these songs under our belt now that even when we're adding new ones, everybody knows kind of like what I'm gonna do, so I don't even have to be there for rehearsal. If I'm busy, they can all like mm-hmm. we can just show them like know what it is. Like for the last show, we had 1.5 hours rehearsal and then showed up and we were like, oh, okay, bet, we're back in the swing of things.
Crush.
That's how it is, especially with most artists. It's like, you know, with Luke, it's like we'll get in there for weeks and work shit out. You know, it's like we'll build transitions and stuff, and he'll come in and, you know, we're texting him, but he's like with his kids, you know. Or every artist is kind of that way, because it's like your time is so valuable. It's hard to find weeks just to carve out and sit around.
You know? I miss that, though. That's the fun stuff. I miss being in that section of it.
Yeah. So you were talking about like writing with like Dylan and Singleton. I know like
that's gotta be
some
awesome.
Of the stuff. Yeah. Some of the stuff you put out, you know, you see like those guys' names on it too.
My last single that I put out, I wrote with, was one of the first songs I wrote in Nashville, but wrote it with Singleton and
that's
Dylan.
That's cool. Yeah. What is that, like, the experience been from coming from kind of solo writing, right, to now, you know, getting to do the co-writing thing and now having a publishing deal? I'm assuming they're, like, kind of even hooking you up with more different people and
yeah, my calendar definitely looks way different now than it ever has. I'm like, whoa, who are these people?
Yeah.
I was always solo writing, but I still solo write some. But even before I came to town, I was still co-writing, but just not, like, the Nashville style. Like, you know, I was writing with guys who, like, Elijah Dax, amazing R&B artist in Nashville, but he's, you know, his country is Cornbread from West Virginia. So I could get with him and write about country things, but it was cool because I would, you know, he's not going to sing the chorus the same way I would, but I could take the cadences and the kind of approach of his melody and sing it country-fied, and then it would sound different. That's where some of those, like, it's classic, but it's not. It's because I'm still in, you know, R&B and gospel influences. So it's different and kind of the same. I always was kind of, like, in the group, the thought of like, okay, if we put all of our heads together, we can get the better version.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like way more systematic. And I've noticed that more. I feel like I noticed it less coming in because I was just excited to be there. And whatever they said, I was kind of just like, okay, yeah, these guys are the pros. I'm going to follow them. But now when I go back to situations where it's like just the homies writing at the house, it's definitely like, I catch myself like trying to be, oh, well, we have to, well, how long is this? Or like, you know, we got to be in this. Now it's, we've done this pre-chorus. We got to the chorus where some of the guys are like, nah, let's just sing another verse because fuck it. And it's like figuring out that balance of still how to like not only write as the system writes, which has been kind of weird.
Yeah.
I've never really fit into systems my whole life. So it's interesting to see a little how it fits.
I think there's something to be said for being creative within any sort of confines. I think it's kind of like just do whatever you want. Then it's like the blank page is kind of terrifying sometimes. But it's like something that may be on, you know, a record, you know, that it's like, or maybe on radio, it's like that already sets a box for you to work in. You know, I just find it's like keeps it from being overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing too because
you like bumpers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kind of.
If something's too different, I think it was someone said that like when you're giving someone music and if you've given them music before, if it's 50% different, it's gonna like freak them out.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. But if it's like 20% different, then it's 20% different the next time. You know, like they kind of like tag along with
that's
it.
That's a good analogy.
So it's like, if you know what they're used to hearing and you're kind of using that as like a guide rail, then when you do your thing that's different than that with purpose, right, you know that it's different than that. And you can kind of like express in that way.
It definitely has been cool to learn like those systems because they are, I mean, they're successful for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
And then the more you know them, the better you could break them, you know.
Yeah.
True.
Absolutely true.
I feel like that's the biggest blessing for me is I got to jump right in with like kind of OGs who have been doing this for a long time. And just got to sit there and listen. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to do this and do this. And just my first write in town, my co-write was with Jeremy Bussey. And
wild.
We never even picked our guitars up. He just talked to me for like a couple hours. He was like, hey, bro, these are the things you could do and couldn't do and couldn't do that would like fuck your career up or make your career better. And I was just like, I don't even know this guy, but he sounds like he's giving me a lot of wisdom right now. So I just took a bunch of notes. And then honestly, like, I feel like half of the decisions I've made since I've been in Nashville, I've like, kind of had a little bit of guidance just from that the conversations of somebody taking the time to be like, hey, this is how we kind of do it here.
I'd love to hear some of the stuff he told you, if you can remember.
I mean, he just... how do I filter this?
You don't have to.
Yeah.
I think he was giving me the kind of warning of like, hey, you're coming to Nashville and you got this kind of hot thing going on and you know who you are, but don't be like too big for your britches. Like, come to town and like... know that you're getting put in the room with these dudes and they're in there for a reason. So don't go in there and like act like you know everything. And like kind of like a lot of that lesson of like, not that he was like trying to like sun me. I wasn't trying to like, you know, he was just kind of giving me free game. And I was like,
stay humble.
Yeah, for sure. Some stay humble stuff. And then also like of like, hey, like just because somebody says that this shit doesn't slide doesn't mean it doesn't slide. Like also like kind of backing me up in the sense of like, hey, like be like confident in what you're going to do as far as like what you're going to write. If you're going to say it, like, say it with your chest kind of thing, which kind of also like saying like, you know, only say the shit that matters kind of thing. So it's kind of stuff like that. It gave me some advice on like, you know, what kind of shorties to stay away from in Nashville, like how to stay out of trouble in that field.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotta leave them Broadway girls alone.
Exactly. Hey, but it helped me out though, because I'm engaged now. I just got recently engaged. So.
Yeah, congrats. Man. Congrats.
Yeah. Was that, I assume, who you were down in Key West with?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, she's been great.
She's wonderful. Shout out to Taylor.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Dude, the whole world is running for you.
It feels like it. We're a million miles an hour right now.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
In every direction.
Has anything more, like, other than, like, that Dasha stuff come out on that creative side of things, too?
Yeah.
Have you been exploring that more, too?
So, that's the Good People's Agency.
Yeah.
And we've kind of done, there's been, like, kind of segments of that started with us kind of, like, guinea pig. I was like, hey, we'll just do all of my stuff through this.
Yeah.
And just build it off of that. We came to town. We did Logan Crosby's, the 23 Days in LA rollout.
Yeah.
So it was like that debuted in People's Magazine. So that was a kind of a first dub for us.
Yeah.
And kind of piggybacked off of that through the agency, you know, the Flagrant podcast.
Yeah.
Like one of our creative guys has done like a lot of their graphics and merch and stuff through the label of the name of Good People's Agency. So just kind of some cool random stuff like that and just
That's
kind
cool.
of building it out more and more. We got some meetings coming up with some labels in town. Can't really talk about yet.
Yeah.
But be excited to like do that of like work with other artists, because it's fun for me to like, you know, we joke about it. Like, I won't have my braids in that day, and I'll have, like, a ball cap pulled down tight, and I'm just a producer that day, and just kind of like, hey, how can I help you? And, like, let's do this. And that's fun, like, to get into just be creative on that side of things.
Yeah.
Just
so when the braids are in, that's when you're in work mode.
Oh, yeah.
Music
sure.
mode.
It's game time for
okay,
sure.
Okay, look the fuck out.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love that.
I feel like your branding, even before you moved to town, has always been, like, it's just been dialed, I feel like. Like 100%. Like your look, and I have noticed as a photographer also, I'm like, these guys are like shooting film and like doing cool shit.
Yeah, it's all film. Shout out to Alex Green. We call him Scoos, but top five black and white developers in the world. You know, he's going to give us a little flowers while we're here, but
yeah.
Top so five, I, not five.
I, as a as a photographer, I'm just like, damn, this guy's photos are killing, you know?
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer. My adopted dad used to tell me this all the time. They're going to see you 9 times out of 10 before they hear you. So I want to make sure, like, when you see me, that you're going to at least give me the chance to talk to you and not just see me and be like, this is something else that I'm not interested in. At least it's going to be interesting enough that you're like, what the fuck is this? If nothing else, even if I don't like this, I'm going to ask him what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So try to just stand out as much as I can.
Man,
well,
great advice.
Great advice. Yeah, honestly.
I mean, in a perfect world, it wouldn't matter what you look like, but we don't live in that world, so looking cool helps.
Yeah, I mean, aesthetic, and dude, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, if you're scrolling on social media, and what's going to make them stop, right? If you're at a show, what's going to make them pay attention, right? So it's like,
what's the grab?
Yeah, branding is fucking huge, you know? Whether it's like, talking about what fonts you're using, the style of clothes you're wearing, like how you're doing your hair, like whatever that is, you know what I mean? And like when I see you now, I think of those braids, right? It works.
Dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Hold We're on. Excited. It's like, oh yeah, braid them up for us. It's cool how it's led into new stuff. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Malbon, the golf brand. They're like, you know, one of the biggest golf brands outside of the States and slowly like taking over the game in the States. But they're doing a Willie Nelson collab. I don't know if that's live yet, but it will be by the time this is, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm like gonna be the face of the Willie collab, and just because obviously it's because the braid is not because I sound like Willie, so I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. I love golf, and I'm getting to, like, you know,
that's awesome.
Maybe you'll get to meet Willie.
Oh, that's I told him, I was like, yo, that's the goal. Anything I can do to meet Willie, I'm there. I met Lucas, I met him in a parking lot, and within 30 minutes, we had like convinced him to come play Top Golf with us, and then we just played Top Golf the rest of the night.
Oh, that's sick.
It was like one step down.
Dude, Top Golf is the best. Yeah. I wish it was a little bit cheaper, but it's super fun. And the food's good.
It's cold easy beers. To spend a lot of money there.
Bro, I spent so much money at Top Golf and hadn't been mad about it.
No. Yeah, we went, like, when I first, I think maybe like right around when it first opened, we went there on like a Sunday. And Sunday, like, morning, they have like half price, you know, sessions. So that's why we always just would go then. But now I like work every Sunday. So,
yeah, I've definitely gone, like, Luke had a number one party there and everyone's like talking and drinking and chatting. And I'm just like in the booth, just like hitting balls, Focus. Hitting balls, hitting balls. And then then my arms and hands were like tired. I'm like, all right, I think it's time to go talk to people and drink. Yeah.
I got 100 shots to get in before I can get out.
So where did the Cowboy Casanova thing? I know on your single cover, you're riding a Bronco or bull or something. I don't know anything about rodeo, so.
Yeah, I was, that's kind of funny how it came about. But for the single cover for Sick Crooked and for the video, I went down and rode in a rodeo down at Wicked Rodeo Co. And right outside of Russellville, Alabama. I can't think of exactly where the city is or town. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But I rode rodeos growing up, and we were trying to do a partnership with the PBR, and the guy asked, you know, what is your relationship with bull riding? And I was like, well, I'll just show you. And so I went and found somewhere to go ride bulls, and I was like, let's go do this. And so kind of got into that. But Cowboy Casanova, I don't know. I had Casanova tattooed across my stomach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got the name Casanova as being a wild man. I don't know if, you know, the real Casanova was like this savant of a dude who was like a preacher and a theologian and all these things, but it was also shacking up with everybody's shorties. Gotcha. So got that name kind of honestly back in the day, and then just kind of held on to it forever. And now it's just perfect branding.
Yeah.
So
former Casanova Taylor, if you're watching.
Yeah. So I was looking at this cover, and it's like you sitting on a bull,
mm-hmm.
about to be, the pen's about to open and about to fly out of there. I was like, I wonder what would happen if you plopped Nick and I on one of these and never, I mean, obviously if there's a way to do it without getting hurt, which there probably isn't, but I'm just like, or on a VR thing, I wonder, like, what would happen if I did that?
Scoos rode it for his first time ever. Never been in the chute at all and just jumped right on. So, I mean, you'll be fine. Just hold on tight.
Yeah,
it's
but
not like, you got to think about it like this. That bull is...
I mean, what's it like is what I'm asking.
He's 2,800 pounds of muscle and hate. So it don't matter how skillful you are, strong you are, you ain't going to be stronger than that bull. So there's, you know, obviously a couple things that you can do to, like, you know, practice and to, you know, have skill at it. But the rest of it's fucking luck, and you're just holding on like a motherfucker.
I have noticed that whenever I'm, like, played a gig at a club and, you know, I pack up the gear and then I'm starting to get drunk and the music's playing and there's a mechanical bull, like, in the club or whatever, I'm like, I get on and the guy controlling it throws my ass off, like, immediately, and then some chick gets on and it's just, like,
just slow riding that. I think that has a little bit more to do with the guy in the control than that one. He's like, Ashley's on next.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have a better grip on than that girl did, but nope.
The crowd enjoys her on it more than you. That's all.
Yeah, no shit.
It doesn't matter. But the last in that video, you hear me. It's like right before I'm talking to Austin, the guy we're bucking with, and he's like, "Hey, listen. You know as good as I do, when this gate opens up, that bull's going to go left." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. You're going to go right." And then as soon as he goes left, I go off right. And he's like, "I'm saying it's going to go left." I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I just, it just got a hold of me." Because at the end of as soon as that gate opens, it's just like tunnel vision. You're just trying to look at the bull, but honestly, you're just trying to keep your eyes open and not closing your eyes the whole time.
Damn, that's terrifying.
How long did stay on?
5 seconds.
That's great.
It kind of hurt. Yeah. Fell on my head.
I'm just worried about falling.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know how to fall, I feel like. That's
tuck and roll.
I'd break my arm.
You got to hope you get your hand out.
I wouldn't be able to go to Australia or anything.
I was thinking that going into that. I was like, well, at least, worst case scenario, I can front man in a cast. So.
Yeah.
And what a badass story to be on stage. Well, I would be playing guitar for y'all tonight, but I broke my hand in Alabama.
Riding this bull for the cover.
Yeah, that's what happened to Kojo, actually. He didn't break his arm, but he, like, hurt it. In Australia.
I rode the bull and jumped up in the video. I said, "Tell Kojo he ain't the only cowboy in country music." Probably kicked my ass for saying that.
But that's cool, man. I appreciate you telling that story. Because I was always like, when I was looking at that thing, I'm like, I could do that. And you're like, "You're not going to be stronger than that bull in my damn ass." I'm like, "Yes, I am." Obviously not.
I'm aware that I'm not. Yeah.
I know I'm old now, so I don't, like, fuck with skiing anymore. Like, no, like... You know, I'll break something. Skateboarding.
I said that in the video. I was like, I'm about to turn 30 in April. I was like, this is the last time I'm doing this before I turn 30. I got to get one more out. And
there you then go. It's one over. Raw.
Yep.
Crazy. Dear rodeo.
Then we're out of here.
Peace out, rodeo.
One last rodeo. That's the next album.
So how much are you getting to write now? So, like, I know, of course, like, through the holidays, not as much, but. Are you writing, like, multiple times a week?
Yeah, I'm pretty consistent right now, especially, like, through the holidays, we've kind of stayed consistent as far as, like, I'm getting at least 3, sometimes 4 days a week, trying to just be as, like, consistent as possible.
Yeah.
Just because I want to write for other artists as much as I write for myself, as long as I have the opportunity to. I know sooner or later there's going to be a point where I'm not writing as much, and then I got to be more strategic with those songs. But while the gate's wide open, I'm trying to get as many of these out as I can, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
I feel like I've been waiting so long to get these opportunities that I'm like, all right, anyone who wants to write, I'll be there. Where, what time? Cool, I'll be there. Like,
yeah,
whoever, whenever, let's go.
I love that attitude, man.
Yeah,
being talented is important, but I think having that kind of work ethic will get you further, right?
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, too, like, that helps you build other people that, if they're successful, it helps you, and when you're successful, it helps them. You know what I mean? And that's, like, in my opinion, what makes Nashville Nashville. Is that community?
Absolutely.
You know? Man, it's cool. Who wouldn't want to go write with Singleton and, you know, and all those cats?
I don't think that exists. Yeah. Those people.
Yeah. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
It's crazy. But, and that's, I mean, the whole world of Nashville just, and I'm not even on, like, the music side thing, is just so different than everything else that I've ever seen. You know, like, I've been around musical people, but never anything that's been like this, where it's just like, there's just so much talent in every nook of this town at any time. You know, it's wild. And just everybody's so different, you know?
It's crazy. You really feel that when you get booked to, like, play a random writer's round. You show up, there's no one there. You're expecting it to be just some dud, and the person beside you just...
Killer.
Yeah, you're like, why are you here? Who are you? I feel like that happens so much in Nashville. Just
I actually have a funny memory of we had Farron was playing around, and someone, I don't know what happened, but Caitlin Butts was ended up being on the round, and then she sang her first song, and Farron was like, "Where the fuck did you come from?" And Caitlin said, "Oklahoma." Yeah.
Well, it was that murder ballad.
Yeah. Yeah. White River.
White River. Yeah.
Gotta love a murder ballad.
Yeah. Well, and that song.
She's got a lot of good murdering songs.
Yeah, she does. But that song, like, in the beginning of it, it's just her singing before the guitar comes in.
Just belting.
And just belting. So, like, that's how she kicked it off. And you're like, whoa. You know?
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
Dude, yeah.
White River?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll text it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's sick. But that's one of my favorite things about, like, what I get to do with rounds and stuff is, like, sometimes I get surprised, but other times I get to, like, kind of, like...
Show the surprise.
Yeah. Like, I remember I had Jordan Fletcher play, and he... I was, like... I was asked, I'm, like, do you want me to book around you, or do you want me to have you let two of your friends come? And sometimes it's, like, y'all want to go with the homies that I've been writing with. And then sometimes it's, like, yeah, let's meet some new people. So, like, when you do that and you watch someone, they're, like, oh... This person's sick, you know?
That's always a good feeling when you're around. You're like, oh, okay. Then it gets like, it's like, oh, well, then how good can I play this next song? Because he's killing that song. Kind of makes me, brings it up a little bit.
It's cool.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And it's interesting too, even like on the band nights, like when we have like the full bands. Like I remember Fox and Veed came and they were awesome. And we had them come up, a rock band that's like from North Carolina, actually.
Oh, badass.
Yeah, they were sick. You should
check them out.
Yeah.
What part of North Carolina are they from?
I'm not sure.
Exactly. Northern
Carolina. Nice.
But they came up and we had another rock band on that night, who is just insanely good as well. Dude, why is my brain not working? Cess Band.
I don't know.
Fuck.
I wasn't there that night.
Yeah. But like each band was like, okay, kids, let us show you what you eat.
Yeah. You hell know? Yeah.
So it's like, it's cool. But then they like chatted and like talked for a while. Bro, why can't I think? Probably smoke too much pot this
week. Yeah.
Or not enough.
It'll come to you later.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, this town is very much like show and prove, but it's also like, oh crap, like that person's sick. And maybe you find like a new friend or a new co-writer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's like what we do a lot is like, we're trying to help build community. So like if someone just got to town or even if they've been here for a while, you know, you can introduce them to someone else, whether it's on that round that they're on or maybe someone else in that night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like just a good way to, for folks to meet folks.
I feel like I've met half the people I know here just off of like being at writers rounds and like, oh, that guy was badass. I'm going to go stand over there until he gets off stage and be like, hey bro, let's follow each other on Instagram. Yeah.
See if you like what I do too.
Yeah, exactly. You smoke weed? Yeah. Oh, cool. I see you
great
there.
Great equalizer.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Nuts.
Dalton was like, can I smoke a blunt on this podcast? I'm like, I don't think Mitch would like us smoking in his.
We talked about if there was a way to get some kind of, because we're cigar people, but too much smoke.
It's, too much smoke.
We should just take an edible, you know?
Don't work the same.
Yeah.
Get that little backwood, you know?
Bro, that was like one of my first cigars I got into backwoods.
Really? Just smoking straight backwoods? Yeah. That's some cowboy ass shit. Damn. Yeah.
And it's like gets in your teeth and stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah. Like, it's like chew tobacco pretty much.
Filler, yeah.
Yeah. It's not the best. Mm-mm. But we graduated to Crown Heads, though. So. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
We love your Crown
Heads. Yes. I see you got the Crown Heads sweater on.
Yeah. I probably have. I mean, I've got so much of their merch on all the time, but yes, sir.
John does a great job. That's why.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we covered most of the stuff. Is there any stuff you want to plug here before we wrap up?
Yeah, we got a new single coming out January the 24th, I believe. Blue Ridge Sky. I think that's the right date. So we'll
is that the title?
Yeah, yeah, Blue Ridge Sky.
Okay.
And who'd you write it with?
Lou Card and Elijah Dax. Cool. So it was one of the songs off the record that was written with the squad before we came to Nashville. So I'm excited about that. That it, you know, through all the other songs, it still made the cut. It kind of was the song that started the mess that we're all in right now. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
And then, and after that, you're going to be releasing kind of singles, and then you're going to drop the full length.
Yeah, so we did a single in October, single in December. We'll do one this month, one more after this, and then we'll pair those four singles with four more songs as an 8-song project. I think that'll be coming out like April the 11th or somewhere in that ballpark. Don't hard quote me on that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, we'll We'll update it when it comes out.
Yeah, perfect. It'll come out April the 8th or the 9th. We'll just figure it out.
But, man, thank you so much for hopping on.
Thanks for having me.
Coming out here. We appreciate it. And thanks for playing for us in Key West and in town, too, man.
Hell, yeah. See you in Key West again this year.
Oh, we're not going to be there. We're going to be in Oklahoma, actually.
Oh, tragic. Well, I'm going to be there turning up.
Yes.
Have fun, bro.
We'll have to FaceTime you.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
I'll be in New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
Well, thanks so much for being here, brother. We appreciate it. Happy 2025.
Yes, sir. All right.
Later, dude.
Woo. Peace. Bye.